Today we have a very deep spiritual teaching in all these readings. The second reading, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you are saved. Confession leads to justification. So do I confess that Jesus is Lord with my words and my actions? Do my actions support what I say? Who is the Lord of my life? What is the Lord of my life? Most of us are kind of a mixed bag, and Lent is a time when we do an honest assessment to see if there are areas of our life that still have to be put under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's probably true for all of us, because our lives are filled with temptations. We're bombarded with the possibility of sin, and we have to worry if we don't know ourselves well enough to know where the temptations are or when they're going to occur. Sometimes we don't know, but there's a lot we can learn from this gospel. Now, Jesus has just been baptized by John in the Jordan, and he immediately, one of the other gospels says he's driven out to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, filled with the power of the Spirit. Like all of us beginning on Ash Wednesday, we're filled with the power of the Spirit for our 40 days of fast, and then we get going, and sometimes it gets kind of tough. What 40 in the Bible sometimes means a long time. So Jesus was out there for a long time, and possibly for 40 days. What are some of the other places where there's a 40 in the Bible? Who can tell me one? The flood of 40 days. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And that's just Kaiser. Okay, anyway, never mind. Anybody else? Moses on Mount Sinai was up there 40 days.
Crossing Sinai.
40 years journey in the wilderness. Elijah walked 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. I'm missing one. 40 loaves and fishes. So those 40s are everywhere. And Jesus, this is deliberately 40 days, because Jesus is going to be reenacting in a symbolic way the Exodus. You know that when the Israelites were prevented from entering the promised land of heaven, they committed sin, and so God had them wander in the desert for 40 years. This became a honeymoon period for them, and in their shared memory, one of the best experiences they ever had. But it was also a punishment. So Jesus, the sinless Son of God, comes down from heaven and takes on our sin. So he's symbolically going to reenact the 40 years journey, 1 year for each day, because he's also going to be one of the people. And even though he's sinless, he's going to take our sins on his shoulders. So this is what he's doing. And one of the things about becoming human, and we all know this, is that we have to be tested. We are tempted. And Jesus is going to show us a few things about how to deal with our temptations. So the first thing we learn, and probably the most important lesson here, is that to be tempted is itself not a sin. To be tempted is not a sin. The sin will come if I tend to fall into sin in a certain area of my life, and I don't make any effort to avoid those areas. I'm committing a sin. I'm putting myself in the center of temptation. If I've given up donuts for Lent and I go over and walk right by those delicious donuts over there, I put myself in an occasion of sin. Now, our donuts are not an occasion of sin, so please don't, you know. Anyway, but they are if you gave them up for Lent. If I'm addicted to something on the internet and I don't take care where I place my computer, I've gone into an occasion of sin. So Jesus obviously did not sin. But temptations do tell us something. Jesus' temptations are temptations of things that he does well. He's being tempted to misuse his powers or his knowledge for his own benefit and not the will of God. We too are going to be tempted, and our temptations will tell us, they may tell us an area where we have sinned in the past and are weaker. They may tell us an area where we're very strong and we're being attacked to fall in that area because we have a gift to give. Or something, God is about to do something marvelous in our lives, so we're sifted with temptation. That often goes together, just like it did with Jesus. Jesus knows his scriptures. When he is tempted, he uses the scriptures. Do I know my sins? Do I know the areas where I tend to fall apart? If I know them, one way to know that is by going to confession on a regular basis, then you will know what it is you habitually tend to do, and also to examine our conscience every night or every day. So I have an arsenal of scriptures that I can use. St. Paul calls the scriptures the sword of the Spirit. We're going to wield that in our battle. And we are in a spiritual battle. We are contending with powers that are not always seen, both within us and without us. We have temptations that come from within, and sometimes we have temptations that come from without, from the devil. That's another lesson we learned from this, is that there are unseen spiritual forces all around us. We are being observed. And sometimes we have an enemy that wants to get us. It's very scriptural. You may think it's a bunch of old wives' tales, demons and Satan and that sort of thing. But if you believe in angels, good angels, you must believe in the bad ones. Because the knowledge of angels comes from the scriptures. Our Lord certainly believed in them. So we know our enemy a little better. We know that by calling on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Confession on the lips leads to salvation. Confessing my sins out loud gives me power over the enemy. What the enemy wants us to do is to hide our sins. Don't tell anybody. Don't even tell ourselves. Don't tell God. Maybe it'll go away. Or call bad good. But we confess it out loud to God, and sometimes to each other, and sometimes in confession when we need to. And we gain power over the enemy. Then we notice also in this passage at what point during Jesus' 40 days does he get tempted? When does this test come? At the end. So we are going to be tested probably not at the beginning of Lent, but somewhere in the middle or at the end. We're going to be tested when we've had a long day at work and things haven't gone well, when I have a headache, when my children have been screaming all day long. I'm going to be tempted when it's been raining for 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe not today. Don't we all feel a little better with the sun? Huh? Yeah. Oddly enough, this is the season when depression seems to go higher. I don't know why that is, but it is. We might get tested when we go to South Salem. That's what I did last week. Got 14 red lights. But who's counting? I was. By the 14th light, I was saying, patience. You know, that's where the test will come, though. We have to be ready for it. It's when we're weakest. That's when the attack is going to occur. So we have to be ready for it. Now, we look at these temptations briefly. They tell us so much, both about Jesus and about ourselves. When we are baptized, we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus' name, the Trinity's name, is written on our forehead. But there's also the three in the unholy Trinity, and that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are the three things that Jesus is tempted by. These are the things, the general categories, that we are going to be tempted by. The Holy Spirit comes, and the kingdom of God is in heaven. Jesus teaches us the kingdom of God is within us, but the world in which we live is not the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of our enemy. So we have to be on guard. We are the emissaries of the kingdom. We are to bring the kingdom of God to this world, But we have to be on guard because we are not home yet. We are here to do battle. So Jesus is led to the top of the parapet of the temple, and Satan says to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Has anybody here been tempted to go to the Capitol Dome and throw yourself off? I mean, so that you can be saved by some angels. I don't think so. That's not my temptation. But I might be tempted to show off. Jesus is being tempted to take a shortcut to getting the people to believe in him. Jesus is being tempted to show off his powers. I might be tempted by becoming too worldly. I might be tempted to think that I'm better than others because of the way I look, or how much money I have, or how healthy I am, the job that I do, or things like that, what my house looks like. These are worldly things. They do not matter. They do not last. That kind of thinking is not pleasing to God, but it is a temptation that we all have. Or to envy someone who has something I do not. That's their gift. I have mine. These are all temporary things on this earth. I can live with it. It's the evil side that pulls us in this direction. And then Satan comes and he says, here are all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. Can you imagine? And how many people, how many tyrants and rulers in the past have fallen for this line? Satan says, all this has been given to me. I give it to whomever I wish. The devil always gives you partly truth and partly falsehood, you see. He does have it within his power to benefit his friends on earth. But no power is given to anyone except what God permits. But he tells this to Jesus, and we too can be tempted by this kind of a line. Will I be tempted to misuse my power and authority? Am I tempted to climb over others to get what I want? Am I willing to take a shortcut? Is my will and my thoughts the most important in my life, or do I think of others? Jesus is tempted to misuse the powers that he has. We all have some power in our lives somewhere. How do I handle that? Then the third one, he says, not in this order, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus has fasted for 40 days. He's sitting on a rock, and he's looking at a stone, and it looks like Wonder Bread. He's thinking, that looks mighty good, you know? And Satan is right there and says, you know, you can turn that into bread if you want, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. Does Satan know who Jesus is? We don't know. We don't know. Jesus knows who he is. Oh, yes. But we don't know if Satan asks these questions because he's not sure if Jesus is the Son of God, or is he testing the Son of God to see if he can make him sin. Either way, it's very arrogant. But this bread, none of us will be tempted to turn a stone into bread. But we might have a disordered passion. This represents our hunger. Hunger is not just, we often think of the area of sexuality when we think of the passions, but it's any sort of disordered passion, like envy or gluttony or lust or pride or greed. These are the sins that we can yield to because we can't say no to ourselves. And this is what our Lord is telling us. Sometimes fasting from something gives us strength in other areas of our lives. So in this gospel, then, we have all kinds of good spiritual advice at just the right time in our lives. We're just beginning Lent. I don't know about you, but my first few days of Lent are always a trial and error. I'm going to sit down today and say what's working and what's not. And what does God really want me to do this Lent? What is it that he and I are going to work on together? What is the Holy Spirit asking of me? It might be in one of these areas that Jesus brought up today. But you can be sure if you have decided to do a good work or a fast of some kind or an act of sacrifice for Lent, you're going to be tempted to give it up. You're going to be tested on it. And that's a sign of God's favor and his will for us. We learn by our temptations. We learn by our trials. And we're here to go through this as Jesus did. So in these 40 days of Lent, let us accompany Jesus in his journey in the desert, because it leads, like us, to the promised land of heaven.